Today we're going to talk about fasting. And fasting is one of those spiritual disciplines that is most confused. Jesus, in the passage that was read earlier in Matthew 6, 16 down to 18, actually talks about some people that you might have come across one or two in your life. And these are people who put on a show of their faith. And they want other people to know just how much they love God and their devotion to God, but they're acting out in such a way that is really distracting from God. Jesus says that there's some who, when they're fasting, they go about looking gaunt and pale and disheveled and are demonstrating just how hungry they are so that people will see and think, wow, they're devoted to God. And there's some in who will proclaim it loud. They'll say loudly, oh no. No food for me today. I am fasting. And there's the announcement and there's a proclamation and people are going, wow, okay, wow, this person is really devoted to God. When we fast, and did you notice in that passage that it says, and when you fast, there's an expectation. Jesus didn't say, and if you fast, or there's a possibility maybe that sometime later on in the often future, there could be a chance, 50-50 maybe, that you might fast. No, Jesus doesn't say that. He says, when you fast. When you fast. There's an expectation. There is a understanding that you will, that you're supposed to, that this is one thing that you do if you're going to follow me. We are called to fast. But we don't want to, as Jesus says, we don't want to go forward and proclaim it. So how do we go about it? How do we do this so that we honor God and not draw attention to ourselves? How do we do this so that he gets the glory and the honor? How do we do this so that we do feel more connected to him instead of it just all being about us? Well, today I want to look at a few things and hopefully make you understand that this is not something that is beyond us, but it is something that we can incorporate into our Christian walk, and to do it in such a way that will honor God and will draw us closer to him, and will hopefully help us to mature and become more and more like Christ. I want to start with prayer, and then we'll look into this topic. Father God, I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. I thank you, God, that you include us in so much. Even though you could do all this on your own, you want us to mature, you want us to grow, you want us to become more like your Son. And you give us all sorts of tools, all sorts of encouragement, all sorts of blessings through Scripture in ways that we can become more like Jesus. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would utilize these tools that you've given us for your honor and glory. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as I speak today, Lord, that anything that is distracting, anything that is not from you, Lord, would it be quickly forgotten? But what is from you, would it go deep within us? Would it take root? Would it bear fruit? And would our lives be changed? We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. All right. So what is fasting? What is its purpose? I want to start first with a quote by Donald Whitney, and he says this: without a purpose, fasting can be a miserable, self-centered experience about willpower and endurance. Let me say that again. Without a purpose, fasting can be a miserable, self-centered experience about willpower and endurance. Now, if you've ever had to fast for a time because of medical reasons, you know there's a purpose behind it. There's a reason behind it. There's a goal that you have, but it's a miserable experience. Oh goodness, when you can't eat for a time and every time that hunger gnaws at you and you're reminded, oh, I got to go and get this procedure done, or I got to go do this. I mean, the opposite of this is when you have to get like an ultrasound and you have to drink, you know, like 14 gallons of water before you go, and you can't go to the washroom for days beforehand. It's painful. But when you're fasting for medical reasons, you're constantly reminded about what's going to be taking place. If you just fast for no purpose, all that you're reminded about is that you're hungry. All that you're reminded about is like, my stomach is empty. I haven't eaten, and you count back the hours that you haven't eaten, and then you count forward the hours that you're going to eat. There's a story that I read about this gentleman who was going to church, and he thought, you know what, I gotta fast, so I'm going to fast. My pastor told me I should fast, and so he fasted. And he got up in the morning and he skipped breakfast, and he was angry at his wife for cooking bacon and eggs that day. And it smelled so good, and I don't know, I'm fasting, I can't have that. So he goes off to work, and he gets to work, and he's like, how do I explain this to people that I can't eat? And he was very uncomfortable around his coworkers. And then he got home and he went straight to his room because his wife was cooking, and she was only cooking something for her and the son. And he looked at the clock and it said 7 o'clock. And he thought, okay, in 5 hours, I'm going to eat something. And at the end of it, he said, it was the most miserable day, most miserable experience, because he was focused on himself. He was focused on what he didn't have. He was focused on what he wanted. It was all about him. Fasting, if it's going to have a purpose, the purpose should always be for our focus to be on God. Our focus is on God. Our purpose is to for us to become closer to God. Fasting without a focus, without a purpose, will just be a very uncomfortable, painful diet that we'll hope will be over soon. So without God as the focus of our fast, we will just get frustrated. Glorifying God, humbling ourselves, remembering who God is, what he has done, that is one of the reasons why we fast. We are called to remember that he's the one that made us, that he crafted us, that he knows us inside and out. He knows what we need. And so as we go through a fast, as we are purposefully abstaining from food, we look to God and say, God, you've made me, you created me, you know what I need. And so when we have that hunger, we're reminded that God has given us this need for food, but that he provides it for us. And as we are hungry, we look to God and we say, thank you, God. You're the one that made us. We're also reminded that we have a purpose. God has created us with a purpose. In Ephesians 2 and 10, it talks about how God has prepared works for us to do. Good works. These are things that he planned for us long before. And he said, when you come to faith in Christ, these are the things that I'm going to have you do. And so as we fast and as we're hungry, we're reminded that God has a purpose for us. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, before he began his ministry, the Spirit led him out into the desert, and he was fasting. You see, Jesus fasted to prepare for the ministry, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry at the end of it. He was hungry, naturally. And Satan came and tempted him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And his response was this: man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's quoted, Jesus is quoting scripture from Deuteronomy 8 and 3. We don't live simply by bread. We don't live simply by food, but our true sustenance, what we truly need, is from God's word. We need the bread of life. We need Jesus spoken through scripture, and that is what sustains us. So as we go through a fast, we are called to remember scripture. We're called to remember that it is God's word that sustains us. When we fast, one of the purposes is to glorify God. It's to humble ourselves, to recognize that He is God, that we are not. We humble ourselves before Him and say, God, You're in control. I trust You. I know that You will sustain me. Another reason why we fast, another purpose for fasting, is to seek God. And to seek His, seek understanding, seek knowledge, seek wisdom. There's times in the Old Testament, I think especially of in Ezra and Nehemiah, those are two instances that come to mind right off the bat, where the people of God are wondering what they're to do. And so what they do is they pray and they fast. And they say, God, what's next? What's our next step? Where do we go from here? And as a people, not individually, but as a people, they came before God. They sought His face and said, God, what would You have us do? And they fasted. And every time they had that hunger pang inside, they said, God, what would You have us do? Every time they're thinking, oh, I need some food there. Instead, they thought, I don't need food. I need God. God, what would You have us do? And as a people, they prayed and fasted together. There's also times within Scripture where people fast to express grief, where they've experienced something. David, when their firstborn with Bathsheba was killed, he fasted for a week, tore his robes, and fasted, and would not anoint himself with oil, would not do any of that. He was overcome with grief and called out to God. There's also times in Scripture where people fast to express repentance, where they have committed a sin, they recognize that they have sinned, and to demonstrate that they have messed up, to demonstrate their sorry but sorrowful, they fast. They abstain from food and say, God, we're sorry. God, forgive us. Now, I want to say this. If you fast because of sin in your life, don't think that the fasting is going to impress God. Don't think that fasting is going to make God love you more. There's nothing that we can do that is going to make God love us more. God already loves us perfectly. What fasting does is it's for us. We recognize that the sin that we've committed hurts God. We recognize that the sin that we've done, it's offensive to Him. And so it's an act, a demonstration of repentance, a demonstration that He is God, that we have sinned against Him. If we fast without God as our focus, without Him as the purpose behind our fast, it will all be about us. And let me tell you, it will be miserable. You'll just be hungry. You'll just be frustrated. You'll just be thinking about the next time you eat. But if you fast in order to honor God, in order to glorify Him, in order to seek His will and His knowledge for you, to express grief, to express repentance, if you are doing this for God, every time you have that hunger pang, every time that you're thinking, oh, I'm hungry, it's a reminder that it is time to pray. It's a reminder that it is time to honor Him. It's a reminder that He is God and we are not. So how do we fast? How often do we do it? Where do we do it? When do we do it? There's all sorts of different types of fasts. There are times where you can go, wake up in the morning, and not eat all day. There are other times where we eliminate one meal. And during that time, we focus and we say, God, help me to pray. And have you noticed also that as we've been going through these spiritual disciplines, how many of them are interconnected? That with fasting, there comes a lot of prayer. That prayer and fasting sort of go hand in hand. Also, within fasting, there's a remembrance of what God has taught us. There's the scripture study that comes back. Oftentimes within fasting, there's times of solitude. All of these things are interconnected. They work together to help us to grow. So how often do you fast? I think it was Wesley. One of the Wesleys, who was a Methodist pastor back in the 18th century, Charles Wesley. Or was it his brother? I forget. He said that he would not ordain a pastor who did not fast twice a week on Wednesdays and Fridays. I would not have been ordained by him. I do not fast twice a week. In fact, the number of times that I fast, it's sporadic. I don't have a regular time each week or each month that I fast. There are times where I say, no, this is the time that I need to fast, or I just feel led by God. And that's a good rule of thumb to start off with. Pray. Ask God. How often should you fast? Talk to a spouse, talk to someone that you trust, talk to someone that you care about, and talk with them and say, how often do you fast? How often should I fast? It's different for everybody. For some people, they do like a weekly fast. One of my profs back at Redeemer, he had every month for a whole weekend would fast once a month. It was partially for health reasons, but it was also spiritual as well. And he would do that one weekend a month, and it was the students knew about it, the family knew about it, and it was just something that he did. It is one of the ways in which we can grow closer to God. And so if God lays upon your heart to say, you know what, I should really start fasting on a weekly basis, do that. Do it. One thing I would ask you to do, though, is tell somebody else. Have someone hold you accountable. If God has laid it on your heart to fast every Friday, tell one person that you trust and say, this is what I'm going to do, and have that person hold you accountable. Ask, and they can ask you how it's going. Be honest. Be truthful. If you missed one day, it's okay, but ask. And as you are going through it, let them know how it's going. In Galatians, it talks about how we are told to, if the student learns something apart from the teacher, we are called to tell the teacher what we've learned. It even goes between brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're called to tell each other how we are doing. We can also fast for a purpose. If you have something major coming up in your life, something that you want God's direction upon, fast. Take some time to say, God, help me understand what it is next that I'm supposed to do. Lay that before him. Lay it before him and say, God, I don't know what to do. Would you guide me? Would you direct me? Would you help me? And then pray and fast. Tell somebody else, let them know so that they can pray and fast with you. And that's one other thing that I want to encourage us to do. In our 3 years, just over 3 years, we have never had a time of fasting as a church, as the body of Christ. It would be something good for us to do. Coming up in the fall, we're going to have time with when we go back into the schools. We've had just an incredible opportunity to be in King Albert. I thank God for that. But I know that for many, many schools, they're closing the doors to churches. We've been blessed. I think it would be good for us in the fall, in September, as a church, to pray and fast for the school year. To ask God for direction, to ask God for guidance and God's blessing upon us as we are in the school so that we can honor him there and so that we can glorify him. We are called to fast. We are called to seek God and to look to him. I'd encourage you over this next week, pray. Ask God, should I fast? When should I fast? What should I fast about? Tell somebody else. Let them know what's going on with your walk with God, whether it's a spouse or a friend or someone, so that you can honor God honor God together. To end off, I want to talk about one more fast. And this is one that we're going to be remembering tonight as we take communion. And communion is this. Communion is the celebration of what Jesus did on the cross, how he gave himself as a sacrifice, how he gave his body as a sacrifice for us, and his blood to erase our sins. And while he was eating and drinking with the disciples in the last supper, after they had the bread, he said this: while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and then when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now listen to this next part. I touched on this before, but listen. "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus is fasting from enjoying the wine until we'll be reunited with him. Until that time, he said, not yet. And so we remember Jesus' sacrifice tonight. We remember what he did, what he accomplished on the cross. How when he gave his life as a ransom for us, he paid for our sins. He made a way for us to have a relationship with God so that we could be with him for eternity. You see, it's not what we do, it's not the quality of our faith, but it's the object of our faith that saves us. If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, he says, "Yes, you will be saved. You will be with me in eternity." If we put our faith in how good a person we are, or how well we act or behave, Jesus says, "That's not enough. You need to trust me. You need to put me first in your life, and then you will be saved." If you're a regular tender, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, not a regular tender, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, you are welcome to come to the table. You're welcome to receive the bread and the juice, the cup. This evening, the way that we're going to work this is, if you can come down that aisle and come across here and then go up that aisle back to your seat, and you'll come forward and you'll receive the bread, you'll receive the cup, and then at the end, once everyone has been served, we will take it together. And that way, as a unified body, we'll remember Jesus' sacrifice for us.